I am René Arnoux, and you must listen like me, F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 844, August 3rd. 2020, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say welcome to 50 laps of Snooze Fest and 2 laps of Manson Motorsports. Helter Skelter. Now back to F1 Weekly cult leader, Mr. Rogers.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, LCH can even win on 3 wheels. Why did Red Bull not go for the win? 3 punctures in the last 3 laps. Michelin, where are you? Renault posted a $7 billion loss. We have more from Gary Sloan in thepitlane.com. And quickly, I want to mention, we need your contributions. Keep the server space ready and paid for. All you have to do is click on the F1 Weekly tab and support us. $100 gets you a nice F1 Weekly cup and a picture of moi. Nass, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Man, I have a question for you. Did we have a Grand Prix for 2 laps on Sunday? What say you?
We had a lucky dog. It was a very American ending. We had a lucky dog. I parlayed Bottas, I knew he couldn't handle it because he doesn't have the horseshoe collection that Lewis Hamilton has. Bottas has got a lot of catching up to do in that regard. And of course, for me, Hulkenberg getting the shaft by Isaac Hayes.
Who's the cat that won't come out when there's danger all about?
Shaft! Right on. You see, this cat shaft is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth!
What I'm talking about, Sharon?
Yeah, he can do it.
He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.
John Chef.
Sad but true. But I have to say, even Christian Horner is singing your tune now, calling Lewis Hamilton, he's a lucky boy.
Let's face it. Lewis Hamilton looks in the mirror and says, "You're a lucky dog, my friend." I mean, everybody knows it. I mean, he even put out a statement about the lack of competition. He was hoping for a competition caution, but he didn't get it. But let me quote. This is by Lewis Hamilton. Quote, "This is not the championship fight I would have hoped for. I'd much, much prefer to be having a super close battle with Max and Charles because that is what I love. I'm still putting in the laps that are required, but it's not as close battle with Max in qualifying, and it is the same with Charles. I really, really hope that in the future it's closer." Unquote. So I know he says that, you know, because of the big domination thing, but you know what? He's racking up those points. The British trophies are beautiful, traditional loving cups. You can't hate that. And he knows the next 3 years, apparently he's going to keep going, COVID or not. I'm telling you, the Lewis Hamilton Museum is going to be big. Apparently they've picked out a site and it's right next to Costco. Back to you, Nasser.
Well, you know, it's very well what you quoted him saying, and I have to agree with him. just like Michael Schumacher wanted competition, but he did not want Mika Hakkinen as a teammate. And I don't think Lewis would be interested in if there is a press release coming out from Stuttgart tomorrow morning saying, for 2021, to spice up thing, we have blown away Bottas and just signed Max Verstappen. I don't think that's going to go down very well in the house of Hamilton. But we cannot take away anything from him. The amazing achievements he's having just keeps on piling. It's just like the days of Michael Schumacher. Every qualifying session, it's a new track record. Every race, there is some new achievement. So this is very, very impressive. And His Majesty on Sunday won Her Majesty's Grand Prix on three wheels, which was very impressive. And to be honest with you, you know, after the start of the race and for the next 50 laps, I was not a couch potato, but more like a couch cucumber a la Naren Karthikeyan. And I had gotten up early at 5 in the morning to watch the F2, F3 Porsche Super Cup races. And then when the Dunn Blowed Up Festival started, one after the other, and David Croft of Sky Sports made it more exciting by saying that this is Lewis Hamilton when they were showing onboard camera from Bottas's car. And you know, Red Bull probably slotted a win in search of one extra point for fastest lap. And poor Bottas, you know, just like Hülkenberg, does not have all the luck. But he was pretty impressive for most of the race, did not allow his teammate to check out. But his championship is now kaput, officially, after he had to check in for new Pirelli Cinturato. But man, Silverstone is the place for motorsports. Back in the day, there were three tracks that were real fast and required mil-spec TF. Silverstone, Monza, and the old Österreichring. The first two are still Machismo Autodromos. Unfortunately, the Austrian track has been Tilke Eis. And sir, what I am really excited about, this is my favorite month of the year. We have four Formula One races this month. Who could ask for anything more? And we have gone from Mickey Mouse Hungaroring to what was once Mighty Fast and still is fast, and Pancake Flat Silverstone. You know, Silverstone really proves the point, and also Monza, that it's great to have elevation changes like Nürburgring and Spa and Suzuka, but you can still have a fantastic racetrack even at high hop. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And always a great pleasure to see Grand Prix cars at this track where it all started for Formula One. And it's a nice touch that we have another race at the same venue this coming weekend, and appropriately called the 70th anniversary Grand Prix. And Mr. Rogers, last week we were asking if Lewis, we said Lewis will win at least one of the two races. Now chances are pretty good that he's going to win both of them. What say you?
You think they're pretty good?
Or it's a done deal.
Thank you. I mean, we both knew this was going to happen. And, and Lewis Hamilton, he knows what he's got. He's thanking the team. He knows who he has to hug every post-race episode. You know, he knows what's going down. He's got a great car. And what's wonderful is, since we don't have the kablamos of the 2000s, of the 90s, we have Pirelli to help us out.
Yes, yes. Did you watch the qualifying, sir?
Oh, my favorite part.
Well, and your favorite driver did not let you down. You know what is amazing? Lewis Hamilton now has 65 pole positions just with Mercedes, which is the same number of all pole positions for Senna in his entire career. And of course, we have to keep in mind more races, and like you said, cars don't break down. But in terms of achievements which keep on piling, it was also pole number 7 for him at Silverstone, and it's a new track record again for most pole at your home Grand Prix. Total tally is 91. Most likely we will see him celebrating century of wins and poles sometime next season. Mercedes' front row lockout was obviously not a surprise, but Bottas being 0.3 seconds slower than teammate was a surprise. And that's when I knew that Bottas' dishes were done for the Grand Prix. Do you remember once we spoke to this gentleman who used to work for McLaren? He was there with Lewis and Heikki Kovalainen, and he made an interesting comment that if any driver keeps getting beaten by his teammate again and again, it's only a matter of time that it will dawn on him that, you know, hey, I just can't beat this guy. Do you think Bottas has reached that stage already?
Yes. I mean, Bottas already understands what a Rubinho is or Eddie Irvine. He understands his place. Believe it or not, he gets a really good paycheck. He gets a fast car. He gets to be on the front row. He looks pretty good. He's a pretty good teammate. He's better than Albon, who makes us a lot of excuses. And Albon, if he comes up with more excuses at the next race, his dishes are done. So I think Bottas is a great number two. And we would not have Formula One without good number twos.
Yeah, we cannot have, 11 Michael Jordans on our team, that's for sure. But, you know, what is interesting, he won the opening race of the season, and I believe he was leading the championship after the second race also. And here we are after four races, he's 30 points down. And as we had said, you know, we're not sure how many races we will have this year. A DNF, especially with your teammate winning the race, is going to be very, very deadly. And now, going 30 points down on Lewis Hamilton, I think the dishes are done and neatly put in Mama's pantry. So, congratulations to Lewis on his 7th World Championship. You know, it was also the 25th pole position for a British driver on home soil. And the might of Mercedes is displayed by a gap of 1 second between Lewis and Max, who was 3rd on the grid, and 7, the Ferrari was 10th on the grid, 2 seconds slower than Lewis Carl Hamilton. So this is very bad for competition and for Scuderia Ferrari. But, you know, it's early in the season, but realistically, I think we need to get ready for championship number 8 in the next 6 months. Sad to see Sergio Perez sidelined with coronavirus after visiting his sick mother in Mexico. According to team boss Otmar Szafnauer, Perez took all precaution on this trip, flew on a private jet, not on people's air. But it just goes to show even a young athlete can catch this virus, and we wish him all the best. Now, because of the rules and regulations in England and FIA regulation, he's going to miss the next Grand Prix also, which will give Nico Hülkenberg another chance. Now, Nico was brought in at the last minute. He was eliminated in Q2, which kind of surprised me. But Daddy's Darling did make it to Q3. And I have to say this. Tell me if you agree with me on this. Lance will be strolling to wins if he was in car 44, and maybe even winning the championship if Lewis was not transferred to car 77. What say you?
For sure. I mean, a lot of people would be winning if they were in that famous car number 44, there's no doubt. And, I mean, like you said, you were saying that the Ferraris were 2 seconds off. Max was 1 second off. I mean, to have that kind of gap, I mean, I remember the Schumacher years. I don't remember gaps like that. It was a lot tighter, even though certainly they were yawn years and Ferrari was dominating. But we're seeing numbers now that are pretty impressive by Mercedes. I mean, full domination. And I'm pretty sure they're not taking any prisoners.
No, I mean, I remember Senna qualifying a second faster than Prost at Monaco, but just one race. Otherwise, it was cutthroat, you know, throughout that time together. Yeah, this Mercedes package now has gone into a totally different SpaceX program. You know, you just can't touch this. Maybe that's what he should do, bring MC Hammer to the races with him. Can't touch this.
Don't even mention stuff like that, because all of a sudden we'll see JB at the races.
There you go. Okay, sir, anything you liked at the start of the race?
Well, I mean, I gave a lot of credit once again to Lewis Hamilton, because Bottas this time, they put a little piece of tape over the light that distracted him. which is what I do in my car, you know, when the engine light comes on. I mean, I don't worry about it. I just put a little black tape over there and it's good as new. So yes, Bottas didn't have that terrible start that he had in Hungary. I mean, I think Bottas gave him a run for his money. And, you know, Lewis Hamilton, he's pretty coy. He knows how to make it look good where Bottas looks good. Everybody's happy. It looks competitive. It's fighting. But once he took off, there was a 2-second lead, 3-second lead. And we knew eventually that it was going to stay like that. Like you said, it was a bit of a yawn fest. Thank goodness for the guys in the midfield. Thank goodness for Grosjean and that crappy driving, you know, and causing people to freak out and claim that he was doing the double move instead of the single move. I mean, that I enjoyed. I find very entertaining.
And this guy is president of GPDA, Grand Prix Drivers Association.
Isn't that ironic? Yeah, but we had some good stuff. But like you said, until we had Pirelli tires failing, which we have seen at Silverstone before, and you would think Pirelli would be more prepared after the fiasco we saw a few years ago at Silverstone with the Pirellis, but apparently not. And I'm happy about that because I really loved what happened. I thought the race was boring until the end, and I thought that Red Bull needs to gamble a little bit. This, oh, we did the right decision. I love my team. You know, if I hear more, I love Christian Horner, and I suck on his lips every morning, I'm going to start crying. I want people, this is where I miss Fernando. GP2 engine, eh! I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm glad. How long is Max going to be Henry Kissinger of Red Bull? I can't take it anymore. But I thought it was a crappy decision. If you take a chance to win a Grand Prix in England in front of Lewis Hamilton's people and fail to do so because they would have won. They would, if they stayed and didn't pit, they would have won. And if they got in a flat, well, too bad. They would have finished fourth maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just me because I'm dying for super excitement. I just don't like what's happening with this kissy-kissy. And, you know, I don't want to get too carried away. I mean, did you notice that they all took a knee before the national anthem? I thought you're supposed to take a knee during the national anthem.
You know, this thing is, this is becoming a very political thing now. And I'm frankly speaking, getting very, very tired of it. You know, sports, like somebody once said to me, we were talking about motorsports, and he says, motorsports bring people together from all walks of life, from all parts of the world. You know, the key word was bringing people together. And if there are two things that divide people, that is ideology, also known as religion, and damn politics. And these two things do not belong in sports. If you have any belief, like Mario Andretti said, man, there's a time. I totally believe in this. For anything and everything, there is a time and place for everything. And how long will this continue? And kneeling down would really end racism and hatred in this world. I mean, think about it. But anyway, we have to get back to motor racing. Drama started even before the race. Poor guy, all his life, talk of the town has been that poor Nico Hülkenberg never got into a fast car. And I have to say I'm a huge Nico Hülkenberg fan because his junior career from Formula BMW to GP2 with a GP2 engine was as impressive as Lewis Hamilton's career. And here was his opportunity to cause cat-scratch fever behind the Mercs in a Pink Panther, but the cat would not come alive and the Hulk became a spectator. It was reported to be a Mercedes part in the clutch assembly that broke and got jammed in the system that prevented the engine to start. And I was really, really hoping, Clark, that maybe he will get an opportunity and put this car on the second row, maybe finish on the podium, which he has long deserved, never gotten. But I'm very happy that he's getting another chance this coming weekend. And of course, it's all up to him to make it happen. So we'll see how it works out. And like you said, and I totally agree with you, Bottas did a very good job before his problem with the Pirellis. When the five lights went out, he came very close to getting ahead of King of the Road in the run-up to the first turn. And I thought he might even, you know, take a chance and do a sort of aggressive move, kind of like Daniel Ricciardo. But that was his 50 seconds of fame. And by the end of the opening lap, LCH had a cushion of over a second. And that's when the question was asked, what else is new? And I hit the snooze button. But you know, Mr. Lewis Hamilton said his heart nearly stopped after he suffered flat tire on the final lap. Win number 7 in home Grand Prix, 3rd in a row. 3 wins from 4 races this season so far has brought his total to 87 Grand Prix wins. Look at this man. 4 more wins and he reaches a new milestone in matching Michael Schumacher's hard-to-believe number of wins. And you know, it's interesting. It's sort of a mixed feeling for, I guess, a lot of people, myself included. I really would like to see, since Mick Schumacher is racing in Formula 2, same support event, it will be a very nice touch that he presents his trophy to Lewis when he gets his 91st victory. Would you concur on that idea, sir?
Absolutely. If anything, I'm a nice person, and I think that would be absolutely a wonderful gesture. But getting back to Lewis Hamilton and having that flat, and I can't remember exactly what he said, something about his heart was in his mouth and he couldn't believe it, but he didn't really tell the truth. What he couldn't believe, that he has a flat tire and nobody passed him. He still won the race. He's thinking, my God, how much more can I do to give these guys a chance to win? I mean, talk about lack of competition. Yeah, he was floored. Flat tire. He's creeping. And he still wins the Grand Prix. Ladies and gentlemen, unbelievable, but true.
Since he has won a race on 3 wheels, maybe he should take part in the Calcutta Racing Rickshaws. Maybe he can win there also, and that would be pretty impressive.
I'm telling you, if Mercedes builds it, he will drive it.
Well, you know, talking of Mercedes, their chokehold on the competition is such that this season they have led all but one lap so far this season. And this has gone beyond the Braun, Jean-Todd, Michael Schumacher era. And, you know, more power to them. Now, with 2 laps to go, Bottas had a Mansell moment and Max passed him for second. Bottas was far from pit lane entry and lost more and more places, finally ending out of points behind his fellow Misery Loves Company club member Sebastian Vettel. Bottas is still in the championship, second in the championship, and only 3 laps from the end he was looking set for a boatload of points, but shredded tire has done blowed up his championship hopes. As we said earlier, he is now 30 points behind his teammate. He needs a back-to-back DNFs for Lewis to get back in the game, or he can do a porridge breakfast meeting with Barrichello. And I think even with the 15-race schedule, we may see LCH taking 10 or more wins. I mean, the guy already has, 3 wins? So, I mean, you know, he's going to get 7 or 8 very easily. So, wow, it's just getting too much. Whether it's good for the sport, I don't know, but I think when people start dominating so much, was the case with Michael Schumacher and Senna, I mean, these people become mega stars, and when people become mega stars, people outside the sport also start paying attention. Like, you know, there are many sports I don't follow at all, but I do know Roger Federer is not a golf player. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Okay, let's talk about Romain Grosjean Haas. With K-Mag out of the race on the opening lap, Gunther Steiner's big hope was Romain Grosjean. Mark Webber once called him a first-lap nutter. On Sunday, he was mid-race nutter, pulling some late defensive moves, one of which was described by Daniel Ricciardo as sketchy. And, you know, to do these things at a high-speed track, I don't think it's recommended by the Bradford Exchange. Last year in the British Grand Prix, K-Mag crashed out after colliding with his teammate. This year, his race lasted 2 laps before he collided with Alexander Albon before going into Willie Nelson program. Hello, Walls.
Hello, Walls.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, did K-Mac lasted 2 laps or did he crash on the opening lap?
I think he lasted a couple laps.
Okay. But it was very early in the Grand Prix. Okay, Red Bull, Max. Like all other drivers, his Red Bull had no wings or steam to challenge the Black Arrows. But I do like the Black Mercedes. Do you like that paint scheme, sir?
Everybody loves the Black Mercedes.
That's good. But he remains best and strongest of the rest. He was cruising to a comfortable podium finish when Bottas had his tire issues. Feeling safe and hoping to earn one extra point, the team brought him in for soft tires. The battle was won, but victory was lost despite a wounded enemy left out in the field. Now, I have a such thing that they obviously had no idea that Lewis was going to have tire issues. And even Lewis said it happened all of a sudden, most likely because of some debris on the track. So I don't know if he can blame them for being kissy-kissy or hissy-hissy by doing the pit stop. And later, Mr. Christian Horner said they found 50 small cuts on Max's tire. But Max was happy with his second place. He said he's happy, unhappy, saying Lewis was lucky, but so was he, that Bottas had issue. Because Max was never going to finish second, normal course of things, and he knew that. I mean, he was even advising his team engineer to stay hydrated and drink some water. I mean, he was bored in the race. But now he's only 6 points behind Bottas in the championship. I don't think realistically he's going to finish ahead of Bottas in the championship unless Honda can bring in 6-10th without changing the driver. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Now, Max's teammate, Alexander Albon, you're firing slings and arrows at him, and so are quite a few people. He got a 5-second penalty as stewards deemed him to be responsible in his Let's Get Physical with Kevin Magnussen before the two could finish the opening lap. So that's the answer to that question. There are also calls in the media for him to be chop-chop from Red Bull to make room for someone who was there before. And we all know who we are talking about. Albon soldiered on to finish, passing several cars in the closing laps to get into the points. And ladies and gentlemen, Roscoe has arrived in the Palatial Studios. Albon is sixth in the championship with 26 points, exactly half of his teammate after 4 races. Not as much fun as one night in Bangkok. Sir, what is your beef and pad thai with Alexander Albon?
I think Albon is trying too hard. He's made mistakes, and he gives wacky excuses. Well, maybe not wacky, but the kind of excuses that I don't like. Try to stay out of problems. I mean, the Kevin Magnussen thing was very avoidable. Albon is going to get the chop-chop because we know Dr. Marco has no patience.
Yeah, you know, I feel sorry for him because, as you can see, he has the speed. But to put him or anybody against Max Verstappen, you know you're not going to catch that guy. And all you can do is try to get within half a second. And that's where people start overdriving or overextending their, as to borrow a phrase from Martin Brundle, ambition ahead of adhesion. And I think that's what happened with Pierre Gasly at Red Bull. And I think that's what's happening with Alexander Albon. I would like him to become a good number two like Bottas and at least survive 2 full seasons with Red Bull, and then Dr. Marco can bring out his machete. Now we come to the most magical and mythical name in racing that has not won a driver's championship since 2007. Scuderia Ferrari. When Sebastian joined Ferrari, many were expecting German Renaissance Part 2 and Battle Royale with Lewis. Sadly for fans, it has not worked out that way. Seb's star started to fade away after Kimi left the building and was replaced by Charles Leclerc. Now it looks like his interest and pace is also fading away. Despite 2 wins at Silverstone, he was basically a no-show both in quali and race. Very, very surprising. Teammate Charles Leclerc took his second podium of the season. Seb has 10 points and is 13th out of 20 drivers in the standings. Can you believe a Ferrari driver 13th in the championship? Prince Charming and Charles of Prancing Horse is 5th in the championship.
with 33 points. No wonder they are saying sayonara to Sebastian. And now we come to your huge money-making conglomerate, Renault. Both cars were in the points. Danny Boy fourth, as always, punching above the weight of his package that he has. I see racing in his eyes and a podium or two in this season. Esteban Ocon was sixth and doing his best to stay as close as possible to his teammate, which is highly recommended and required for his career as testing and preparation for next season, as Huracan is arriving in the team and we are not talking about a Lamborghini. Sir, I have a question for you. It's one of like the race we had, or at least the last two laps of the British Grand Prix. I think a scenario like this played out in a few more races, maybe two or three races, can give an opportunity to somebody like Ricciardo or even Alexander Albon spring into a surprise victory, and that will be very, very good. Question I have for you, Mr. Rogers. Esteban Ocon, he's not rattling Daniel Ricciardo's cage. What do you think will be his pace against the machismo de original, Fernando Alonso?
Whew, man! Talk about suffering succotash. He will suffer, but he will learn from the best of the best, the top of the top, the heap of the heap.
I think what will save his escargot is his nationality, because once you bring in Alonso, that's the max you can get with what's available. So being French and a French team, that Renault might keep him. So I wish him all the best. He's a nice kid, very impressive junior Formula. And if you can beat Max Verstappen in Formula 3, you have to be very quick. So let's see what happens. Now, Renault's protest continues after every race against Racing Point. And I think the FIA decision on this issue is coming on Wednesday of this week or sometime this week. If Renault's protest is thrown out, then it will change the face of Formula 1. As Red Bull has already stated, it will then just copy-paste the mothership for AlphaTauri. And now, latest is that Ferrari has also sought some clarification from FIA on the Racing Point situation. My understanding on listening to people who know a lot, I mean, who are technical people, is that they have to protest after every race. But if, let's say, Renault loses this case, for example, then next race they may come out with some other part that they have copied. So I don't know how long this will go on, but, you know, that's part and parcel of Formula One. And then whoever loses the case is going to probably file an appeal also. How do you think this thing will go? What's your opinion?
It's impossible to say, because we don't know how deep under the skin the copying is. I mean, if we're looking at a Mercedes on the skin, but deep it down inside, it's a checker cab, then it should be thrown out and Renault should just stop it. But if under the skin we have a W125, which is a dated Mercedes, but still a race car, I mean, we'll see what happens. It's up to the FIA. I think the FIA is going to find something and they're going to say, knock it off.
Or they may have a confidential agreement with them, like some other team. But you know, what I keep hearing is that, and this is from Force India, Racing Point senior management people, that they had shown their drawing, I think, before the season began, and it was all cleared by FIA. But this is the same FIA that once sued their own stewards, and I think to get a decision against Lewis Carl Hamilton. So we don't know. I don't have the facts. I don't have the Kinko copy sheets, faxed to me, so I really cannot comment. And even if they did, I'm not Colin Chapman of Karachi, so I wouldn't be able to decipher what's going on. But it'll be interesting to see how it goes. You know, they used to have customer cars in the past, and Lotus car, their first Grand Prix win came courtesy of private team Rob Walker, so I don't know what the big deal is. We want competition. I want to see. Remember the days of pre-qualifying Clark Rogers?
Yeah.
Remember 1984 when they had the Dallas Grand Prix? The pre-qualifying was so early in the morning that there's a famous picture of Jacques Lafitte coming to the track in his pajama suit. So that's what we want now, pajama games, you know, in Formula One. Okay, sir, moving on to, where are we now? Okay, McLaren. Lando Norris is the man in collie and Carlito on race day. Sainz Jr. was running fifth with four laps to go when he radioed his team of not-so-cool vibration. On the final lap, he was flaming his way to the pits. His teammate Lando inherited his fifth-place finish and is now sitting pretty fourth in the championship. Lando Norris and McLaren fourth in the championship. Very, very good. AlphaTauri. Lap 13 was unlucky for Daniel Kvyat as he crashed out and took his frustration on the TV camera. First, he called the team saying, I'm sorry. He thought it was his mistake, but apparently there was some tire issue, whether he went through debris or curb, I don't know. But this was his first DNF in the British Grand Prix for the Russian driver. Teammate Pierre Gasly was 7th. He was very excited. His AlphaTauri, this is, you know, the question, how low can you go? His AlphaTauri passing Sebastian Vettel's Ferrari was quite a sight. How the mighty have fallen. And I just hope that Sebastian Vettel either goes out gracefully by winning a race or two this season, if that's possible, or if he lands at, you know, it'll be interesting if the copy-paste of Racing Point is not allowed by FIA, then the question would be, should Sebastian really go there? What say you?
He won't go there.
Really?
Absolutely not.
Time shall tell. Okay, Sauber, Alfa Romeo, less said the better. Giovinazzi was 14th and Kimi was 17th, one lap down. Kimi could be a keeper for next season, as Mick Schumacher is not exactly sizzling in his second season of Formula 2. Antonio is a paisan and may keep his Ferrari paid seat. You see Mr. Raikkonen in Formula 1 next year. Would you like to see him stay in Formula 1?
I would like to see him stay in Formula 1.
It's amazing, you know, the guy who doesn't talk, doesn't like to talk, is like a longtime fan favorite. Amazing. Williams, 12th and 15th. Russell ahead of Latifi. No surprise here. And George Russell is getting a lot of kudos from everywhere. And Claire Williams, you know, she knows a good driver when she sees one. She has come out and said that he is the best driver Williams team ever had. You know, they had Alan Jones and Keke Rosberg and even a guy named Ayrton Senna drove for 3 races for them. But she thinks Russell is the best. And maybe he is. We'll find out when he's in a good package. And I would really like to see him be put next to Lewis Hamilton since he's a Mercedes driver. And man, if he can do to Lewis what Lewis did to Alonso, then, you know, fantastic. We look forward to it. Racing Point, Lance came in 9th and got the bragging right by finishing ahead of Ferrari's Bastian. So there you have it, sir. Any other thoughts on the wonderful, the two-lap British Grand Prix, as I want to say?
No, I'm ready for the next race. Let's move along. Let's give Lewis Hamilton his trophies. I'm just hoping to see something exciting. Eventually, it's got to happen, right? I mean, eventually...
Yeah, so the next race is coming next weekend, so the same place, of course. So the question is, who's going to be second, Bottas or Max?
Who knows? It could be Max, probably. But no, I need some excitement. Let's get Ricciardo on the podium. Let's get Albon to finish in the top three. Something, I want something exciting. That's all I've got to say, but it's going to happen. We've just got to keep our fingers crossed that the competition is coming. It's coming. And it's going to be here. We just got to hope and pray, just like Lewis does every day. So, on that note, let's hear from Gary Sloan.
Hello, listeners. My name is Gary Sloan. Welcome to this week's edition of In the Pit Lane. So, in the week McLaren announced Gulf Oil as a new sponsor, the team also came in for criticism for its deal with British American Tobacco and their A Better Tomorrow campaign. Well, with the deal being worth an estimated $40 million, it's not surprising McLaren has decided to pocket the money. After all, McLaren has a unique approach to sponsorship. Their strategy is to sign multiple sponsors and have no title sponsor. Having a title sponsor may work for the big beasts of Mercedes and Ferrari, but recently has not served the smaller teams well. Remember back in May when Williams parted company with Rocket, leaving existing sponsor Michael Latif to make up the shortfall? And then last year, Haas had the disastrous involvement with Rich Energy and its deluded owner Williams Story. In the absence of a title sponsor for the 2020 season, Gene Haas has become in effect his own sponsor, with his machine tool company Haas Automation filling the void. McLaren's shift of focus is down to one Zak Brown, executive officer of McLaren Racing, who joined the team when McLaren had been without a title sponsor for both the 2015 and 2016 seasons, losing the team an estimated $40 million in revenue. The background to this was McLaren losing its groundbreaking $500 million sponsorship from telecoms giant Vodafone in 2013 after an act of commercial suicide when the team refused Vodafone's request to remove their logos from the cars during the Bahrain Grand Prix in 2012. The team blatantly antagonised its title sponsor because a major shareholder was the Bahrainian Royal Family's investment fund. There was no way the Bahrainian Royal Family were going to allow in effect a boycott of a race by a sponsor, thus giving legitimacy to human rights criticisms of Bahrain. Then whiskey brand Johnnie Walker, a sponsor of McLaren since 2005, offered to take over as title sponsor at the end of 2013. But their $40 million offer was turned down by, at the time, McLaren chairman Ron Dennis, who believed it was too small. So when Zak Brown was appointed in November 2016, he announced, "We don't want a title sponsor. But let me clarify what that means. We do want a principal partner, which is title level branding. Unlike in NASCAR, where the title sponsor of a team gets lots of mentions, I don't think many people refer to Mercedes as Patrona Mercedes. They call it Mercedes. You never hear it from commentators. It's never written that way. So I want to keep the name McLaren, so not every 3 to 5 years it's West McLaren, it's Vodafone McLaren, it's Marable McLaren. We are McLaren. The policy has evolved with the principal partner option replaced with multiple partners. So has it worked? Well, in a nutshell, yes. Zak Brown has used his extensive contacts book that he built up over his during his 20-year ownership of the world's largest motorsport marketing agency, Just Marketing International, to help him implement his strategy. McLaren to date has 45 sponsors, covering a wide and diverse range of companies and sectors. This is the classic case of not having all your eggs in the one basket. A good example was at the end of last year when Brazilian oil company Petrobras terminated their sponsorship due to a cost-cutting drive by the Brazilian government. McLaren has been able to replace the oil sector sponsorship with the Gulf Oil deal. But McLaren, like everyone else in the paddock and the wider world, has been impacted financially by the pandemic. The team needed to secure extra funding to help it through the crisis, and in June a loan was arranged from Bahrain's National Bank. Brown is upbeat about the team's sponsorship prospects and insists that more deals will be done, telling Autosport, "I think we're in a good position now. The bad news is behind us, and as far as it relates to all that stuff played out in the last couple of months, we're financially healthy. We've just announced Gulf Oil, and we have a couple of announcements coming up, so now we're exactly where we want to be. I think post-COVID, not that we're in a post-COVID era yet, but looking forward, I think we're sitting on a better business model for Formula One and for McLaren for the next journey of F1. We're in a good spot and spirits are high." So McLaren continues to make progress on and off the track. But on a footnote, now we all must play safe. Maybe it's time for the return of an old sponsor from the past, condom manufacturer Durex. That would be a turn up for the books. If you want more details, inthepitlane.com. Until next week, stay safe, stay well.
Gary, keep up the good work. The check is in the mail. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with another wonderful Motorsports Mondial right after these brief messages.
Honesty is something we all look for, especially when it comes to auto service. Honest Engines Auto Service Tallahassee is where you'll find it. Since 2005, they've been delivering trusted, dependable service to Florida's capital. Honest Engines is your full-service auto repair center. Bumper to bumper, they have you covered. Honest Engines Auto Repair offers a variety of services. Transmission repair, oil change service, and much, much more. Don't let just anyone work on your car. Bring it to Honest Engines. They'll give your baby the care it deserves. They work closely with you to make sure you know what's being done. With Honest Engines, you don't have to guess what their team is doing. Their highly experienced and certified technicians know just what your car needs, and they'll make sure you do too. So if you're in the Tallahassee area and you need auto repairs, give Honest Engines a call. 850-421-8461. And tell them F1Weekly.com sent you. Honest Engines Auto Repair. Right on the corner, right on the price. 718 Gay Street, Tallahassee.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And we shall start with the official feeder series of Formula 1, which is Formula 2. Brazilian Felipe Drugovic started from pole position but faded away in the race. Some great drives. Russian comrade Nikita Mazepin, also known as Lance Stroll of Sovirskaya, took the lead from Mick Schumacher and said dasvidaniya to the competition. Chinese driver Guan Yu Zhu made a late pit stop and then started his own short march to the podium to finish second. Japanese Red Bull driver Yuki Tsunoda made some aggressive passes late in the race to finish third. Sunday's sprint race was won by Red Bull reject and bad boy of motorsports, Daniel Tiktum. Second was Christian Lundgaard from Denmark. I met him last year at Yas Marina, and in terms of having a conversation, he is as exciting as Kimi Raikkonen. But like Kimi in his younger days, he is very quick and definitely one to watch. He is part of the Renault Driver Development Program, sir, and Christian Lundgaard, I say, keep an eye on this kid. It was an unlucky, lucky weekend for the championship leader, Robert Schwartzman from Russia. He failed to score any points, but his main challenger, which I was very, very surprised, failed to capitalize on his misery. Callum Ilott threw away a second place finish by spinning, and Chinese driver, the aforementioned Guan Yu Zhu, also lost valuable points by spinning. Mick Schumacher and Marcus Armstrong not doing the business that was expected. And this is the real problem in motor racing for young drivers, man. If you don't perform in your second season in a series, whatever it may be, and you get blown away by a rookie, then the dishes and saucepan, they're all done. Championship standings are Robert Schwartzman still leading with 81 points, Ilott is second with 73, and Lundgaard on 69. And both Robert Schwartzman from Russia and Dane Lundgaard are rookies in the series, so doing a very impressive job. Formula 3, Logan Sargeant from Florida started from pole for Saturday's race, making him first American to start from this position at this level since Connor Daly in 2013. So, you know, good going by Logan. He would go on to finish third behind Oscar Piastri, and the winner was Kiwi Liam Lawson. He is a driver in Dr. Marco's experiment lab and very talented. I will not be surprised if Liam Lawson ends up winning the championship. If somebody was to ask me who are the two most talented drivers not in Formula One right now, I would say Lundgaard and Liam Lawson. And again, all based on performance and what they're doing in their rookie season. No personal likings here. Okay. Now, race two on Sunday was won by Russian. This was strange. Russian driver won the race, Alexander Svolyar. And then he was given a penalty, I think 10-second penalty. So the victory went to a German driver, David Beckmann. And Svolyar was given a penalty for weaving on the front straight. Apparently, his team had radioed him not to do that, and nothing was done or said by the stewards during the race. But after the race, they threw him the gulag law. You cannot do this, comrade. I did not watch the IMSA race from Road America. Maybe you did. A lot of rain, and Elio Castro, no dash Nevis, won the race for Team Penske's Acura. And I think we already mentioned that Team Penske and Acura are going separate ways after the end of the season. Okay, sir, now we come to some points to ponder. Today we open the Pink Floyd file. Money, it's a gas. Forbes magazine recently published a list of 55 highest paid athletes from 2019. Grab that cash with both hands and make a stash is Mr. Sebastian Vettel in 30th place. He made last year only $40.3 million. The only other racing driver on this list, on lucky 13th, is Lewis Hamilton, with only $55 million in annual earnings. That is over $1 million a week. Now, let me ask you a question. If you are making over $1 million a week, how many trips will you make to El Segundo every year?
17.
That's good. That's good. More than one a month. I'm proud of you. Now, not surprisingly, top of the list is Argentine football player Lionel Messi at $127 million. Good for him. Okay, now we come to famous last words. This was interesting. I don't know if it's funny or sad. And this is what Signor Binotto told German broadcaster RTL after the Sunday's British Grand Prix. He said, and I quote, "I'm no longer a technical director. I'm just Ferrari team boss." End of quote. Not a bad job, I must say. But, you know, there have been some changes there. And chairman of Fiat Group, John Elkann, who is, you know, of course, related to the founder, Giovanni and Gianni Agnelli, he said he is not expecting team to win till 2022 because there are some design flaws in the car. And they have now even brought in the South African designer, Rory Byrne, who was the main architect during the Michael Schumacher designer, halcyon days of Michael Schumacher there. And so finally, we have to go back to Lewis Hamilton. With his victory on Sunday, he beats Ayrton Senna's record of 19 lights-to-flag wins, or as we AARP members would like to say, flag-to-flag wins. With that, we wave goodbye. Till next time when we meet behind palatial studio walls. Thank you for listening. Ta-ta.
Thank you, Nasser. Another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Quickly, we have the 70th. I mean, I don't know why I bother, but who will be P4?
P4, I think, will be, I'm hoping Daniel Ricciardo. That'll be good. But, you know, it's expected to be a hot summer day in England, no rain, surprise, surprise. And with what happened this past weekend, it's almost a done deal. The race will feature two pit stops for tires. So I'm hoping that somebody will get their strategy good. Somebody will mess up. Somebody will fess up. And we may have an exciting finish to the race. Yeah, we all know who's going to win. But second could be Max or Bottas. Who would you like to see? I will be very, very happy if somehow Nico Hülkenberg can get on the podium.
I think a big effort from everybody should help put Nico on that damn podium. This monkey on his back must be broken. I mean, that's how I feel. It would be pretty emotional if Hülkenberg got on a podium. I'm very, very serious.
No, me too. You know, like I said, you know, this kid was successful in everything from a BMW, Formula 3. Not many have won GP2 in their first year. I mean, we're talking like Nico Rosberg, Lewis Hamilton, George Russell, who else? Charles Leclerc. They all had good drives in Formula 1, and timing was not right for him, and it's just, you know, influx of new talent coming in, and it just did not work out. So there are no guarantees in Formula 1, you know, just like life.
That was deep and profound, Nasser.
Yeah, and he won the Le Mans race on his first attempt.
Yeah, no, he's a great driver. There's no doubt about his skill. I just thought that they blew up the point and exaggerated the fact that he had not been in Formula One for a while. I hate to say it, guys, but his last race was in December of 2019. And just like everybody else, didn't drive until a couple of months ago when we had the Austrian Grand Prix. So I thought that was blown out of proportion to make him feel more comfortable, maybe. I don't know. But I like Nico Hülkenberg, and I wish him all the best.
Let's hope he gets a podium.
And, you know, Dr. Marco is always looking for talent. And there are even, you know, like wild rumors floating that George Russell may go to Red Bull. I don't think that will happen because he's under contract to Mercedes. But, you know, I heard today that Lewis is expected to sign a 3-year contract with Mercedes. If that happens and they want to keep Bottas for another year or two, then, you know, stranger things have happened where he can be placed at another team for a couple of years. But, you know, I not that I wish this, but given the history of Toro Rosso and especially Dr. Marco, doing a chop-chop and Albon, putting him back into Toro Rosso will not surprise me. But I just have this sneaky feeling that we will not see both the current AlphaTauri drivers next year. Because, you know, they have tried to bring in a lot of people. They even took this Patricio Award from American Racing. They threw him in Formula 2 for a couple of races. He didn't do anything. They put him in Super Formula in Japan. He didn't perform well. So, you know, they sent him back here. But, you know, Liam Lawson is their driver. He's in Formula 3. If he wins the championship, I will not be surprised if they kick out Kvyat and bring him in. And the other possibility, very strong possibility, also, lack of a better word, politically charged, is this Japanese kid, Yuki Tsunoda. He is very quick, and he's in Formula 2 right now. And, of course, he's part of the Red Bull program and also supported by Honda. I think one is because of the other. And the nation of Japan is crying for a Formula 1 driver for quite a few years. So I will not be surprised next season if Yuki Tsunoda is put into Formula 1 AlphaTauri.
Okay, quickly, one last question about Lewis Hamilton's comments on Mario Andretti and calling Mario ignorant.
I have nothing but tremendous respect for Lewis Hamilton as a racing driver. I don't know him personally, but I think he's a decent guy. And I have nothing but tremendous respect for Mario Andretti. I have met him many times. We have interviewed him a few times. To call a gentleman at his age ignorant, who comes from, you know, this guy came to this country on a boat, 15 years old, did not even speak the language, and has become the poster child of American success story. And one buffoon once told me, who shall remain nameless, that he was going to expose racism in America by claiming that Mario Andretti came to the United States on a boat and was given the opportunity to race and succeed, and I was not. And I'm like, dude, this guy is a global sports star. Leave him alone. Surprisingly, the driver did not mention his name on national television while pointing fingers. So I really don't like that. And, you know, the problem, and I said this before, when you start dabbling into these debates of politics, ideology, and we see it in racing all the time. You know, when somebody makes a comment, it gets taken out of context and they retract. Oh, that's not what I meant. This thing that Lewis Hamilton is getting into. I mean, I appreciate that he's taking a stand. He's making these statements. But I'll give you an example. I was reading this, and I'm glad you brought this up. You know, Roger Federer, he makes a lot of money, okay? I was reading about him in that same list that his foundation has donated $50 million and educated thousands and thousands of kids in Africa, okay? I sure would like to know how much money, and I'm not saying he's not doing this, but I have never seen Lewis Hamilton in a Detroit suburb or a Washington, D.C. suburb trying to, you know, do something or being things that he's accusing other people of. I mean, pointing fingers is very easy. So that's... But I was very disappointed when I heard Daddy calling Mario Andretti ignorant. That is very sad.
It is. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that because I thought it sheds a lot of light on the current situation, and I agree with you. I think Lewis Hamilton should just focus on winning, which he does great. And when he retires in 3 or 4 years, he said he'd be retiring in 3 or 4 years, then he could go out and do all these things and be politically active and comment.
but not when you're an active driver. I just don't think it's appropriate. That's just my thought. And I do agree with you. Mario Andretti is a class act and came to this country with nothing. So there you have it, Nass. Outstanding. We got to save it for next week's podcast. I want to thank everybody who listens. I'll see you at the hot dog stand.
Thank you. Bye-bye.